Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today as we face the issues. Looking forward to a theological doctrinal journey through the Scripture with a subject that multitudes have given very little thought about. Others have kind of looked at this subject with disdain and or doubt. We'll be talking about the millennial reign. The question is, what is millennialism? What does the word millennial mean? Why is it important eschatologically, theologically, and doctrinally? Why do we as believers need to understand what it says and what the future holds for every child of God and for the nation of Israel? We'll talk about that on this broadcast today. We have Pastor Davis with us today. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in and through our dialogue and discussion with you. And let me remind you, the telephone lines are open immediately following our monologue that you might have the opportunity to call in. Your telephone call goes direct through to the studios, right to our microphones that we might entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion about this very, very important eschatological, theological issue that we're talking about today. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're looking forward to your discussion, your questions about theological issues, especially eschatology, that is prophecy, and more particularly when we focus on the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so from a central biblicist worldview. It is looking at the Word of God and determining the Word of God is to be interpreted literally and not looking at it as a mythological book, not looking at it as something that is far-fetched and that's simply used as allegorisms or something of that nature, but to literally understand what God is saying and what God is doing. And you find the truth found in the Word of God. The Bible says in John 8, 31 and 32, with the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, the statement is made in a very declaratory fashion in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." Now, ladies and gentlemen, if the word of God is truth, why do we want to deny it? Why do we want to diminish it? Why should we want to reject it or modify it or in some way take away from it or add to it? And yet that is happening even in Christian culture today. The Word of God stands. In fact, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the truth of the Lord stands forever, endures forever, the Scripture says. But ladies and gentlemen, truth is not sought after today in most categories of society. In fact, according to George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, Orwell made a very profound statement. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more they will hate it, the more they will hate those who speak it. And that's what we find taking place today in secular issues, on social issues, economic issues, political issues, theological issues, doctrinal, biblical issues. There are those that will reject standing for truth. There are those today that diminish and deny the truth of the Word of God. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my challenge each and every day. And I believe that's what Christians ought to do. Conservatives, Christians, and patriots need to learn how to stand for truth and defend the truth, learning the truth and living the truth each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals seeking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including the Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. Tools for Time has a benchmark 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. The Old Glory, the U.S. flag, is flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, and the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, indoor and outdoor sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of the staff of Tools for Time to be able to worship in the house of God with the children of God and the family of God as God ordained it. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, and see what God does placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're asking the question today, a theological, biblical, eschatological, prophetic question: what is millennialism? We find today a lot of confusion, a lot of misinformation. Ladies and gentlemen, let me set the stage. There's a lot of confusion, a lot of misinformation, a lot of denial and rejection. It's found in theological circles. It's found in biblical circles. It's found in church circles today, where some very serious theological issues are debated, bounded about as though somehow, some way they're insignificant or somehow treated as being trifling without the need to understand them fully and completely. For example, there's debate about the rapture of the church. There are a lot of people that say the rapture of the church is not real, that it will never take place. In fact, there are some that will say that the word rapture is not found in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, the word rapture is not found in your English Bible. But when you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, it is the sudden seizure, the sudden snatching away. It's the snatching away that the Latin term is rapturus, means to rapture, to suddenly take away. So we have used the word rapture for eons now, centuries now, in relationship to what God is going to do. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of debate and denial and rejection of theological terms and theological issues today. When will the rapture take place? Will the Christian go through the tribulation? These are some of the theological questions, ladies and gentlemen, that people are dealing with today in Christian circles. What about the thousand-year reign of Christ? Have you heard of a thousand-year reign of Christ? Did you know that Jesus Christ is coming back? He's coming back and will set up his kingdom, his throne. He will rule and reign from Jerusalem, from the throne of his great-great-great-great-great-great-great, if I can say it some more, great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, David, according to the Davidic covenant, that a king out of the line of David will be seated forever on the throne of David. There's no temple in Jerusalem today, but when you study the text in Ezekiel chapter 40 through chapter 46, you find that there will be a millennial temple. There will be a temple that will be rebuilt. The temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem, and when Jesus Christ returns, he will land, as I use the term, on the Mount of Olives, Zechariah chapter 14. The mountain will cleave, that is, it will split. A great valley will be formed from the Mount of Olives right to the eastern gate that will cross the Kidron Valley, and Jesus Christ will enter into the throne, enter into his place, be seated on the throne in the new temple and will rule and reign for 1,000 years, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the 1,000-year reign of Christ on his throne, ruling and reigning out of his temple in Jerusalem. What is millennialism? What is the millennium? Is this to be considered a literal reign? Will Christ literally rule and reign physically on this earth? What are some of the theological misconceptions about it? Is the theological issue, is this an important theological issue? These are just some of the things we're going to bound about today. I was just saying a moment ago, we're going to take a full seminary 16-week course on millennialism. We're going to boil it down. Sometimes we teach it on a seminar basis with 10 clock hours. Sometimes it's done on a mini master where you have it, this being taught for 3 hours a week for 4 weeks. We're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, almost the impossible. Pastor Davis and I are planning on bringing you the essence of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in this broadcast today. Now, realize that means you're going to have to listen fast because we're going to have to talk fast in order to get the point across for you to understand and be able to grasp it, because it is important. The reign of Christ is very important. It's an important part of eschatology. And I think that any Christian that's devoid of information or knowledge of the millennial reign, you are simply in a position of not having full grasp of what God is doing, what Christ will do, what the end times are going to do in the future. Yet some argue that this is simply not important. Some argue that the 1,000-year millennial reign is not going to take place. Some argue that the millennial reign of Christ is taking place now. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, let me, at the risk of redundancy, say this right now. If you follow John Calvin, if you are what's called a covenant theologian, or if you believe what is called covenant theology, if you believe that John Calvin from the 1500s is correct theologically and doctrinally, if you believe that Calvinism is correct today, then you out of hand reject a millennial reign. You out of hand reject a 1,000-year reign of Christ physically upon this earth. Now, let me do a little parenthetical footnote to that. Will Durant, the old church historian, said, there's no such thing as Calvinism. He said you can take 1,000 people and talk with them about Calvinism, and you'd have 1,000 different beliefs on Calvinism. And my word is, it's like trying to nail jello to the wall. You can't tie it down. It is floating and floundering in a muddle of theology and not fixing our theological understanding based on the authority of Scripture. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk briefly today about some of the important aspects of millennialism. We're going to talk about the definition of millennialism recorded. We'll look at the deception of millennialism reviewed, and then we're going to look at the description of millennialism as we review it, as it is revealed in the Scripture. And listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen, so that you'll understand where we are and where we're going. As you study the book of Isaiah, there's 66 chapters in Isaiah. Some have referred to the book of Isaiah as a Bible in miniature. Out of the 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, about one-fourth of the book of Isaiah talks about the events, the happenings in the millennial reign. So you understand the enormity of that subject. But Pastor Davis and I are going to try to do a little spoon feeding this morning.
Amen.
In relationship to what is millennialism. Pastor Davis, thank you for being here with us today. Looking forward to this, as the world would call it, this ginormous subject that we're going to try to boil down for our listeners to get a grasp of millennialism. Thank you for being here.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, and good morning to my bride of 36 years, all of my family and friends that are listening on today, Brother Greg Foreman. Thank God for you. Amen. Saw you in Lowe's the other day, a faithful listener, Dr. Youngblood, that supports. Amen. Us by way of listening.
Amen.
Many others, amen, who are listening by way of internet.
Yes.
And all, Mr. Shuck's Seafood, amen. Yes. I went there the other day in Brunswick, and I had them to tell me how they listen to us in Brunswick, Georgia.
You say seafood.
Amen.
That makes me hungry right now.
Oh, they fed the country boy really good the
that's
other
good.
Day.
That's good. Amen.
I got to say that. Amen. So thank God for you on today and everyone that's listening on today. But the purpose of us going through this, Dr. Youngblood, is so that it will become a reality. Yes. If it's not already real after today, we want you to know that it's real.
That's right.
Because the real Jesus Christ is coming back to the earth.
Amen.
The scripture says, now, if the Bible is true, somebody is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If we are people of God, then we are people of the word, then we're supposed to believe what the word of God says.
Yes.
Not in a fantasy type way.
But reality.
Reality. Amen. Mm-hmm. This is not storybook. We're not here to tell you Tom Thumb stories, Cinderella or anything
right.
like that.
Right.
We're here to let you know that the word of God is real.
Yes. And one of the things, Pastor Davis, if I can interject this thought without breaking up your train of thought on that, if you're a jumbo 777 jet airplane pilot, you want to learn the manual. You want to know everything about that airplane. You want to know all that it would do, all the safety features, all of the danger features, all of what the airplane is created to do. You want to know all of it. I'm always amazed that Christians, we have the manufacturer's guide. They call the Bible.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And I'm amazed that Christians do not want to read the owner's manual. You see, God created us, He owns us, and He's given us the owner's manual for us to understand who He is, what He's doing, and what He intends to do in the future. He deals with, in the Scripture, the past, present, and future. This is the reason the future, we call it the eschatological prophetic text of what God is going to do.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Yet most Christians do not understand all of the facets and the theological doctrinal terms. You don't have to be an academic. You don't have to be a theological professor to understand some of these serious issues about prophecy and about the Word of God and what God is going to do.
Well, it's simple, Dr. Youngblood. The Bible is a book of instructions.
Yes.
So what we need to do as Christians on today, we need to learn how to follow instructions.
Yes.
It's already there for us. God has told us what He's going to do, what's not going to happen, what is going to happen. I mean, certain things that are there, but all of them work together for good, for the benefit of the believer.
That's right. Absolutely.
So we have to know and understand Christ is coming back, and He's coming back for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we look at the kingdoms of this world, Dr. Youngblood, they don't benefit the believer.
That's right.
You and I were talking about a good friend of ours, Brother Mike Hill. We love you on today.
Amen.
And we hope
yes.
that you're listening.
Amen.
We want you to be encouraged.
Amen.
Don't worry about all these other things, the negative that is taking place. I feel like God has got a greater thing for you.
Amen.
So let's just be encouraged
we
and know and understand.
Out, if I can put a little footnote, we need to figure out a way to remove Joe Biden and put Mike in the Oval Office.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I have that much respect for his capability, his ability, his love for the Lord, and his tenacity in standing for truth.
Amen.
I had to add that.
Amen. Amen. But it's just great to know, amen, that we have people like that that still want to do great works for God and for the church.
Yes.
And usually when you're that way, Dr. Youngblood, you are swimming or you're bucking against the tide.
Oh, absolutely. Going.
So we have to know now. Let me sum this up and then we're going to move on with the lesson. For that particular reason, kingdoms like that must come down.
You got it.
And that's why Christ is coming back. He's going to tear these kingdoms down and establish a kingdom on earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. And that's when the believer can really rejoice.
Absolutely. In fact, Pastor Davis, let me just read a verse that says what you're saying. It says this in Matthew, the 6th chapter. It is what is considered the pattern of prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer, as it's called. But the disciples ask Jesus, teach us to pray. And
Amen.
Jesus gives them what we call the Lord's Prayer. In verse 10 of chapter 6, the book of Matthew, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Praise God.
The millennial reign is the fulfillment of this prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Amen. I just taught that.
That's the wonder of that.
Praise God. I just taught that same verse of scripture to the church.
Amen.
On Tuesday night. So it's, you know, it's just a great thing that God will come back and confirm His
you
word.
You got it.
Those, amen, of my WWLTC, if you're listening on today, now, amen, you're hearing a confirmation coming through.
Amen.
Amen, a man of God. Amen. How? Amen. We just taught on that scripture the other night about thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And if God's will has got to be done, then, Dr. Youngblood, if we have a will on today, our will has got to be undone.
You got it.
We have got to scrap our will.
That's right.
There are many things that we want to do in this life, but we got to know and understand The Bible says you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Amen.
Pastor,
you belong to God on today.
Absolutely.
So his kingdom has got to come.
Got to come.
And this is the idea that we're trying to convey to you.
And
we're
going to talk about the three different views on the millennialism. Then we're going to talk about the right view and what it means. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about some of the things that will be taking place in that 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. I believe we have Lana on the line. Lana, go over to the question comment, please.
Hello.
Go ahead with your question or comment.
Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you. There's an echo.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, great. Well, hello. I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm a baby Christian, but I stuck to the Bible. And I believe in 2 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, verse 3, where it says, we are going to get raptured out of here. Yes, amen to that. But we're here for the entire thing, because Jesus comes back once, not again. And it says that we're waiting for the Antichrist, which is the desolation, the abomination of desolation, and the holy place. So Jesus says 2:1 once you see him there. And so we're waiting on the Antichrist and then the rapture. So that's why we must stock our food and prepare for the horror of the devil, what he's bringing upon the earth, because it's his world now, not Jesus. And so he gets back and he takes over and takes all the evil away. So I just want to believe that God is leading us all towards him, but we need to stick to the scripture and not believe what we're going to say in our heart. We would all love to get raptured out of here quickly. But
yeah, I'm thankful that you called, and let me do a little footnote. One of the things that is important theologically, doctrinally, and biblically is to have a chronological order of eschatological events. The next thing on the calendar of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, the rapture of the church, the sudden seizure. You're right. We as believers will be snatched out of this whole world. The Antichrist will step on the scene. He'll rule and reign as a tyrant, dogmatic tyrant, for absolutely 7 years. And at the conclusion of that 7 years, the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And when he returns, he will slay the enemies of God, the enemies of the church, the enemies of Christ with the sword of his mouth, Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21. And then he will establish his kingdom, that is his throne, Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and following. And he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years, where there be peace, prosperity, and plenty, and total obedience, with sin being abated because Satan will have been bound for 1,000 years. That's exactly what will be taking place. And you're right. We need to be ready, and we need to recognize that Jesus Christ is coming. And thank you so much for your call and for your comment. And God bless you. Keep looking up today. Pastor Davis, let's think for a moment on what I call the definition of the millennial recorded. The definition. Our listeners need to understand what it means when we say millennial. Millennialism is the doctrine. I'm going to give our listeners just a little snippet of a theological statement. Millennialism is the doctrine that teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ will have a literal reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Millennium means 1,000 years. So we're talking about millennialism. The definition of millennialism is the doctrine that biblical doctrine that teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ will literally rule and reign on earth for 1,000 years in the future. It's a future tense. Secondly, this is also referred to as the millennial kingdom. The word kingdom is the word basileon. It is the kingdom, the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, as found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. Now, I'm going to read, Pastor, or if you've got it there handy, read for us the first 4 or 5 verses in Revelation chapter 20. Read that, because it touches on what we're talking about with the millennial reign. In fact, if you have a study Bible of any type, you probably have some study notes. And beginning with chapter 20, verse 1 and following, it talks about millennialism. Read verses 1 through 4 for us.
Amen. Revelation 20 and 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
Amen. We're talking about 1,000 years. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply fast forward and then we'll come back. 1,000 years is mentioned in the scripture in this text 6 times in verses 1 through 7 in Revelation chapter 20. It uses the term 1,000 years. That is a millennial. That is the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan will be bound. When is Satan bound? If you look at Revelation chronologically, and it is, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 16, Jesus Christ returns. Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21, the Lord Jesus Christ destroys the Antichrist and the false prophet. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, he casts Satan into hell. But in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 7, we see the 1,000 years mentioned 6 times. It is a literal 1,000 years, not a hypothetical, not a mythological, not something that is unreal, but a literal 1,000 years. I believe I have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Pastor Davis, Dr. Youngblood, how are you guys doing today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Yeah, just a remark here. Your listeners may know this. Some of them may not know this, but God put it so heavily upon a Islamic caliph that the man himself, Jesus Christ, would walk through that east gate, that caliph sealed the east gate and put a graveyard in front of it, knowing the Jewish tradition as far as the dead. So to me, that just speaks volumes.
Absolutely. In fact, I preached the second coming of Christ many, many, many times, and I called it open the eastern gate. Jesus is coming because when he lands on the Mount of Olives and it splits the mountain in half, it claves, that is, it splits according to Zechariah chapter 14,
Amen.
Verses 1 through 4.
Amen.
And when that happens, a great valley is formed from the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley into and through the eastern gate. The eastern gate sealed today. It is not used as exit or entrance. But when Jesus Christ comes, he will enter into the same gate that he would generally go in and out of when he was walking upon this earth, when he was serving as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the earth. Then, when he returns, he will enter as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords without any equivocation. You're exactly right, Jim. Thank you so much for that tidbit.
Thank you.
Because that is so important for our listeners to understand. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is millennialism. Definition is that it's a literal 1,000 years in the future where Jesus Christ will reign. Recorded in Revelation chapter 20, Satan himself will be bound. And when the scripture says in verse 1 of chapter 20, a great or mighty angel, the word angel is angelos, messenger, and the only messenger that has the authority and the power to chain Satan, to bind him, put him in the bottomless pit, and put a seal on it, is none other than the King of Kings, King Jesus himself. That's who is seen here in this text with the John the Revelator, as he is called, writing as he's shown things to come, the future events.
Amen.
Thirdly, Pastor Davis, not only do we find millennialism as the doctrine that teaches a literal 1,000 years, it is talking about the referred to as the kingdom of God, and it's the 1,000 years found in Revelation 20, verse 1 through 7. But notice the Bible says Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And ladies and gentlemen, that's important for us to understand. When Satan is bound for 1,000 years, that means there will be no tempter on the face of the earth.
Amen.
No tempter for sin, no Lucifer, no Satan, no old dragon, as he is called in the scripture, because he's bound, chained with a seal on him. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.